You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Welcome to the program. It's hour one on this Thursday. Breaking news. Another Tennessee Titans player has tested positive this morning. The facility remains closed. Personal activities are prohibited. This according to Adam Schefter. I don't see how the Titans are able to play this game this weekend against the Buffalo Bills, much like last week when they couldn't play against the Pittsburgh Steelers. And the NFL has a real problem on its hands. Welcome to the program. Coming up in a little bit, we'll check in with Chris Haynes in the bubble. LeBron and the Lakers have an extra day to get ready for what they hope will be the final game of the NBA season. We'll have a poll question. We'll check in with John Smoltz. Smoltzy did the Padres and the Dodgers game last night. That was an awesome ending. There was some great theatrics there. So we'll talk to him about that. The Dodgers win. The Rays win. The A's win. The Braves quietly with great pitching. They win again. You got football tonight, Buccaneers at the Bears, and the NFL is investigating the Tennessee Titans. Every offseason, a group of NFL employees gathers in a small room. They figure out a way to somehow put together a 16-game schedule. And under normal circumstances, it's not an easy job. Now the NFL has to figure out what to do when games are canceled, postponed because of COVID tests. Keeping players healthy is priority number one in this situation. And after that, the league could face a logistical nightmare. The schedule, under normal circumstances, like that Jenga puzzle, you pull out one game and you might be okay. A few more games get delayed and they face a very difficult decision. So can you add a week 18? Do teams have to forfeit games? Are standings going to be decided by winning percentage? It's going to be impossible to accommodate everyone. And the other pro leagues did the best they could and had success. The NBA should be applauded that they pulled this off. And the NHL, they pulled it off. The NFL could soon find themselves in the same boat as they try to complete a season in the most fair way possible. But you go back to the NBA and the NHL, they bubbleized their teams. And the NFL, you know, that's the big question. That you're always going to have that, where are your players right now? And, you know, there's a report the Titans players got together and held sort of an informal practice. But what are they supposed to do? You can't go to the facility. I don't know if the NFL had an edict that said you guys cannot gather whatsoever. But these players, they have to be ready to play against the Buffalo Bills this weekend. Unless the NFL just comes out and says, which I think they will, this game is not going to happen this weekend. But these players got together. I don't know if it's in violation of, you know, some mandate that the NFL had, but there's a real issue here because now if the Titans have another game, you know, you only got one bye week. And if you're going to add a week 18, we can't just accommodate the Tennessee Titans if they have games that they are, you know, postponing. And do you have a forfeit in here? And, you know, how do you sort through that logistical nightmare of going, is it their fault? And I don't know if this is the worst part of the NFL season or is this just the start of this because we had this in baseball. We had this with the Marlins. We had this with the Cardinals. And then everybody wised up. This could be the worst that we're going to have or it could be the start of what is going to be a very, very bumpy ride. 877-3DP Show email address dp@danpatrick.com. Our Twitter handle @DP Show. Say good morning to Peacock. Good morning, Peacock. That's where you can watch the show, and it's free. Download the app. You're good to go. And also now 375 radio affiliates around the country. We're waiting for next week as we invade Juneau, Alaska. That'll be market number 376. I will arrive as a popular radio host when I penetrate Juneau, Alaska. McLovin, you got a poll question for me today. By the way, same month, same day, same year sale.
Whoa.
Yes. Our very own Todd Fritz has a birthday coming up this weekend. Same month, same day, same year as Brett Favre. We are going to celebrate our friends and family sale. Sign up for the Dan Patrick Show.
That's fantastic.
Todd.
So I interrupted you. Inner voice. We've talked about this after inner voice.
Sign up for the Dan Patrick Show newsletter at danpatrick.com. You'll receive a special code. You'll get 40% off t-shirts in our merchandise store. Yes, Todd.
I'm excited about that.
Thank you.
Anytime I hear the same day, month, year thing around this time of year.
Well, it's you hear it because you're the one saying it. That's how you hear it.
My birthday's on Saturday, though.
I love that.
Yes. God, I'm thankful it's not tomorrow.
Same month, same day, same year.
As Brett Favre?
As Brett Favre.
Yeah. I wonder if Brett Favre goes around saying, hey, you know, my birthday, same day,
does.
Same month, same year as Todd Fritz.
Why wouldn't he?
You want to hear something interesting? Yeah, me and Fritzy, same month, same day, same year. How about that?
All the Hall of Famers and all the legends are like that. Fritzy from the Dan Patrick Show, you guys have the same exact birthday? 10-10-69, no way.
Yeah.
And now they like him even that much more.
When Favre goes to the Hall of Fame and he sits around with all the Hall of Famers and then there's a lull in the conversation and Favre will go, hey, did you guys know I share the same day, same month, same year birthday as Todd Fritz?
You think it's funny, but when Trivial Pursuit comes out and all of a sudden that's the question and everyone is stumped and you're able to play that little triangle that you could put in the Trivial Pursuit game. Is that an old reference? No one plays Trivial Pursuit anymore.
I don't know where you're going today. Like, you're out of the gate on fire.
That's a good Trivial Pursuit.
Now I regret. Seton, let's call off the sale.
Okay.
Yeah.
I forget
that.
It's a bad idea.
Don't hurt the fans.
You know what? We're going to charge you double.
Why would you hurt our fans? Because of me.
Charging 40% more.
Yes.
Now.
Yes, McLovin.
You know all those Hall of Fame quarterbacks? Fritzy's been harassing all of them for decades. Probably Elway and Marino are like, oh, Fritzy, that guy calls me four times a week. They would actually know Fritzy. Every single one of them. A
couple of them would. Montana would. Marino would. Favre might know who you are.
I don't like taking no for an answer.
Who else have you annoyed over the years?
You name them on the show at some point.
You're pretty much. This program is brought to you by The Home Depot. Pros have to do whatever it takes to get it done. Home Depot makes it easier. They've got delivery options to get you what you need exactly where you need it so you can keep doing whatever it is to get the job done. The Home Depot, how doers get more done. Yes, McLovin.
Okay, so there's a lot going on in sports.
Yeah.
MLB playoffs, NFL COVID, NBA finals. So I have a series of Nick Foles, who would you rather be polls if you want to jump into those now or we can wait.
A Nick Foles question?
Well, Nick Foles against Tom Brady tonight. So our old question, would you rather be Nick Foles with that ring or Matthew Stafford, number one overall pick and never get a ring? Whose career do you want, Dan Patrick?
It's too early for that.
Tonight's going to be a referendum on Nick Foles versus Tom Brady.
Well, it always is. I mean, that's what it comes down to. This is, Tom's chance at, retribution. Yes, McLovin.
A Bears question. What would you like the season to go? 9-7 with, Nick Foles? Or would you like to sort of go 5-11 and reset after this
year?
Are
we really asking Chicago Bears poll questions today? I mean, even Paulie doesn't care about that.
That's true.
We wait till tonight. It is going to be. It doesn't matter what's happening. It's going to be a Brady Foles referendum.
Buccaneers look to start 4-1 in a season for the first time since 2005. Only the Cleveland Browns and the Miami Dolphins have gone longer without starting the season 4-1.
Stat of the day.
Right.
Stat of the day. Stat of the day. Stat of the day. Here comes that what stat of the day.
I watched a lot of baseball yesterday because, Fritzy and his Astros fandom. Now, Fritzy yesterday goes, hey, if the Astros hold on, we should get Dusty Baker on the show.
Put the pox on them pretty badly.
Yep. Good job, Todd.
It must have been like a minute and a half later. Bang, bang, bang. And the A's take the lead. They refuse to go down. They will not be swept by you.
You didn't offer up any of the Oakland A's right
not.
After that.
Not only that, but I was about to send a note to Astros Media Relations thinking that they had pretty much won with in the sixth inning, and that would have been really bad.
Yes, it would.
It was within minutes after sending that. That's when all of a sudden the A's went on a barrage.
And then I watched the Dodgers last night and the Padres. You know, I'm fascinated with it because this is a Padre team that maybe thought that they were a year away from being here. But they've got some stars. There's a little bit of swagger there. Kershaw was on the mound. Bellinger had an unbelievable catch, robbing Tatis of a home run. Machado's having words with the Dodgers. Can't wait for the next game. But Smoltz called that game, so he'll join us coming up a little bit later on. The Rays and the Yankees, I guess we have a new star. His name is Randy Arozarena.
Nailed it.
Randy Arozarena. It's actually fun saying that. Randy Arozarena. He's now batting 600 for the postseason. 8 hits in 12 at-bats against the Yankees. He singled in his first 2 at-bats Wednesday And then he hit a couple of home runs after that. He's being called the Cuban Mookie Betts. And this is a guy who came over from the Cardinals in January to the Rays. Now, it feels like every postseason you have some guy that emerges and you go, wow, where did he come from? He had a decent regular season. But one of the Tampa Rays said that he's the best player on the planet. Okay. In the last couple of days, he is. Randy Arozarena. But keep an eye on him. The Rays have a record-breaking guy. Yes, Todd?
A Rays Arena t-shirt? Or has that already been used many, many times? I'd be shocked if the local media haven't done anything with that.
Well, he just started doing something.
Yeah, but we got to get on that early.
If he goes 0-4 tomorrow night, then people who are going to sign up for the same day, same month, same year sale aren't going to take the Randy Rose Arena, a Rays Arena.
A Rays Arena. It's something to consider. I'm not saying it's got to go into print right now, into the, you know, contact the facility over
there. Is this a sample of what you're going to be like for the next 2 hours and 45
minutes? I'm a little wound up. I don't know what it is. Yeah. I didn't have any Mountain Dew or caffeine or anything. I'm just feeling good.
Yeah, and the guest list is okay.
It's okay, but it's not award-winning. I'm nothing against our guests, but it's nice to have a guest each hour. I feel good about that.
Yeah.
Am I rambling? I'm a little hyped.
Yeah, what is the story?
I got to settle down.
Yeah.
The Astros lost, so I don't know what I'm in a good mood about.
McLevin, what other poll questions? What other non-Chicago Bears poll questions do we have?
I have a baseball-style question from the pre-show debate. Would you rather watch baseball like the Yankees play it and root for a team that just hits home runs? Or would you rather have a team that you know is going to win because they have a very effective middle bullpen, which is how you win in today's MLB? Yeah, that's a shot at all you guys rooting for the Rays. I love watching this Yankees team. It's awesome.
The Rays hit home runs last night.
Yeah, but they don't have Stanton and Judge nothing but strike out or hit home runs.
I know. I mean, this whole Oakland Astros series, there's been 18 home runs in 3 games. Just to give you an idea, I mean, this is crazy. There weren't 18 home runs hit in any full postseason series prior to 1995. Like, no matter if it went 7 games, you don't hit 18 home runs. They've hit 18 home runs in 3 games. Crazy. But that's the new baseball. Yeah, McLovin.
I saw this feature that all the cardboard fans are getting beat up in the outfield.
You have cardboard fans that want to be moved to other seats.
So do you think this is affecting ratings one way or the other? Like,
I don't know. I just know from my... I watch anyway. But I think this is, you know, it's territorial, it's regional, that you're going to watch your team. But I don't know if a Dodger fan is going to go, hey, Dodgers aren't on, I'm going to watch Tampa against the Yankees. Unless you're going to go, you know what, we could be facing them in the World Series, one of those teams, I might watch that. But, baseball is different. It's regional. NFL is national. The NBA is strong regionally, but also there, you know, there's a national spillover as well. And, you know, people keep bringing up this, nobody's watching the NBA. They're going to play on Friday night. And, you know, hey, this title doesn't mean the same because LeBron would do it in the bubble. And I haven't heard anybody say, well, if he didn't or doesn't win the title, then it doesn't mean as much. But if he does win it, then we're going to somehow water it down. So you can't have it both ways there. LeBron, by the way, tweeted at 6:30 this morning that he was up. Just wanted to let his followers know that he's up. And he's going to get sleep when the season ends there. Does he think the game's tonight? Because somebody better tell him. Like, you can go back to bed. But he's been in the bubble. I think he's been in the bubble 91 days. You talk about inspiration. You know, it's not, hey, I'm going to win another my fourth title, or I could get, you know, a fourth MVP, finals MVP. It's, I've been in here 91 days. Yes, Paulie.
But which was worse? He was also at home for March, April, May, and June, not able to go anywhere, barely able to practice.
I'd rather be at home than be in the bubble.
And I think when it's a LeBron James kind of home.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, it might as well be a super, like, 5-star resort where he lives. And I don't know if he's staying.
But whatever the nicest place is at the bubble, he's got it.
Right. And, I mean, he may have the Mickey Mouse suite, but, yeah. you know.
There's no way it's as nice as what his current home is.
But at home, he's sitting there dealing with kids, dealing with family, and not playing basketball.
You're not dealing with kids. You get to enjoy kids, Paulie. And remember.
That's a guy whose kids are out of the house.
That's true. You don't watch your own kids. You don't babysit your own kids, by the way.
That's a time flies.
Yeah.
Enjoy it. Enjoy it, guys, because it goes faster than you think.
I'm that guy now. Yeah. And in the throes of this, where you got kids with diapers off and running around, it's crazy, and you're just going, oh, my God.
You're like pretending to go to the bathroom until you just get 5 minutes of peace and quiet.
You just shut the door and lock it. Meanwhile,
like, okay, be right out.
And you're like, oh. Meanwhile, you got a 3-year-old going, Dad! Dad! I'll be out in a minute.
Okay.
Dad! Yes, boy.
Sometimes I just go into the garage and move stuff around that doesn't need to be moved. The garage is perfectly clean. I'm like, hey, I'm going to clean some stuff up in the garage. So I see a little bit. And it's cold and, you know, it's not the cleanest place in the world. Just moving stuff around.
Yep. I'm busy.
A little quietness.
Yeah, I'm busy. Matt Miller, NFL insider for Bleacher Report with this tweet. A lot of chatter. The NFL could make the Titans forfeit this game as a punishment for violating COVID protocols. We'll make some phone calls here. We'll keep an eye on this. But I think that's... I knew that they were going to look at postponing this. But forfeit was something I brought up last week. And I was told by a source, it's hard to go, let's make you forfeit if it's not your fault. This week, it feels like the Titans may have thumbed their nose a little bit at the NFL. Like... How did this happen? How did the outbreak happen? You got together and, you know, it was not a sanctioned practice there. You can't go to the facility. And you got another Titan who was tested positive this morning. So we'll keep an eye on that. Chris Haynes, who's been so great to us, the NBA insider with Yahoo Sports and TNT. And he's joined us quite a few times from the bubble. Wanted to have him on to say thank you, get his thoughts as you know, we move on to game 5, perhaps the final game of the NBA season. We'll check in with the Patriots a little bit later on. And John Smoltz, who called the Dodgers-Padres game last night, will join us as well. We love your phone calls, emails, tweets, all-around support. 19 after the hour. We're back after this in the Dan Patrick Show. Going to save you money. About $400 a year. That's what the average person is saving when they switch to PureTalk USA. Now, I'm getting ahead of myself because I get excited about this opportunity for you. The big carriers, they lock you in, AT&T, Verizon, T-Mobile. They charge you obscene monthly fees for data that you'll never need and perks you'll never use. So why are you doing that? PureTalk USA goes, how about we only charge you for the data you need? And they're on the exact same towers as these big carriers, or, you know, big carriers. But you only get charged for the data that you need. You get the same exact coverage at half the cost. And unlimited talk, text, 2 gigs of data, $20 a month. So you're saving $400 a year. The average person is. Get unlimited talk, text, plus 2 gigs of data, $20 a month. And you can do all of this from your cell phone. It's really simple. #250 and say Dan Patrick. You will immediately save 50% off your first month. So #250, say Dan Patrick. You have the option to receive a one-time auto-dialed text message from Pure Talk USA. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app. We'll come up with a poll question. I can't do a Chicago Bears poll question, McLovin.
Yeah, that didn't exactly catch on like I thought it would. But wait till tomorrow. I'll bet you we're talking about Nick Foles in the morning. He just has a way of coming back around all the time.
Yes, Paulie.
I got a baseball poll question.
Okay.
It's philosophical.
Ooh.
Dodgers 6, Padres 5. Great catch to win it, basically, for Cody Bellinger at the wall. Would you rather, in a big playoff game or whatever, rob a home run as a center fielder to win the game, or hit a home run to win the game for your team? You could pick one.
Hmm. I would say rob a home run because it doesn't happen very often.
That's right.
Thank you. So that's it. We put that poll question to bed.
Anyone going Oppo?
Yes, Eden.
Well, I might. I feel like as a kid, you played the game where you threw the ball up against the wall and like you would rob the home run all the time. But you couldn't, man, hitting a home run is just.
There's a lot of guys who've done that.
Yeah, but it's pretty awesome.
Have you done it?
Hit a game-winning home run?
Yeah.
No. Oh. No. No. But that's maybe that's why it appeals to me more. You know? Like anybody, you can make a great play with your glove. But, man, hitting a home run, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, but you can accidentally hit a home run.
You can't
accidentally rob somebody of a home run. Yes, McLovin.
I feel like the most famous plays of all time are Bill Mazeroski and Bobby Thompson. That's the
and Joe Carter.
The walk-off home run is undefeated. I can't think of. I know Kirby Puckett climbed the wall, but it's really never happened like that.
Like, would you rather get hit a game-winning shot or a game-winning block? You want the shot.
LeBron's block was pretty good.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
That one was pretty good.
That's pretty good.
Probably a gajillion awesome game-winning shots.
Not a bad poll question.
There's a lot of game-winning shots.
Yeah.
Not necessarily a lot of game-winning saving blocks. Yes, Todd?
But with the home run, you get to admire it to however long you want. You get to run around the bases. Unless that catch wins the game and everyone's celebrating, that could be the first out of an inning of a 7-3 game.
It did, Todd.
No, but it's... Once you make that catch, it's like, okay, you run it in, we throw the ball in. There's no, you don't get the running around the bases.
No, everybody waits for you. Cody Bellinger came in. They all waited for him.
Yeah, but the chicks dig the long ball. I don't know how many are lining up to say, wow, you pulled that ball back out from behind the ball.
Yeah, see.
When I was in Little League, I made a game-winning catch, and it was awesome. It was. Never hit a home run, though.
Yes, Paulie.
The football equivalent would be Roethlisberger throwing the touchdown to win the game, or Malcolm Butler stealing a touchdown and taking a loss and making it into a win.
I would rather be Malcolm Butler.
Nice.
Malcolm Butler had one of the top two or three plays in the history of the Super Bowl. And it was a defensive play.
You could say the NFL.
Yes.
History of ever.
The history of history? Yes, we love it.
But isn't that the Pete Carroll, Russell Wilson mistake? It's not the Malcolm Butler INT. We always talk about it as they screwed up by not giving it to Lynch.
It's only a mistake if you make it a mistake. And Malcolm Butler made it a mistake. So he had to do something. If he doesn't make the interception, then they live to see another play there.
So you could do David Tyree versus Malcolm Butler as a poll, too. Something like that.
Wow.
So many poll questions
right now. That one right there is tough because Tyree had... Is that the greatest catch in Super Bowl history? Now, it wasn't a touchdown. It led to a touchdown. It's the most unique catch in Super Bowl
history.
It's
like the luckiest catch.
Oh, that's right.
Stupid.
Mr. Patriot. All right, before I get to Chris Haynes, I want to play something for you because we have missed this during the bubble. I want to take you back to Game 7, 2016 NBA Finals, and just let you hear what it used to be like when we had a big moment in the NBA Finals.
Each team has a foul to give as we come up on a minute remaining.
And they're putting Curry in the pick and roll, trying to get him on Irving. Irving and Curry, one-on-one. Irving puts it up. It's good! Kyrie Irving from downtown! And the Cavaliers by three!
Now that is something that we miss in the bubble. They've done a great job, but you can't capture that. That is real. That was in the moment. That was on the road. And Kyrie Irving hit that shot. Chris Haynes, Yahoo Sports senior NBA insider, TNT sideline reporter. He's known as Mr. Bubble, and he joins us on the program. Do you have everything packed up right now, Chris?
Oh, yeah, yes, I do. I'm ready. I shipped things ahead of me a couple of days ago. I got some suits in there. So, I don't ever root for pull for any particular team to win, but I wouldn't mind if it ends tomorrow.
I saw where LeBron's already up. He was tweeting people at 6:30 in the morning just to say that he'll sleep when he gets out of the bubble here. You know, you start to realize this. He's been in the bubble 91 days. How many days have you been there?
102 today. 102. Not that I'm counting, but 102 today. But DP, before I got to pivot, just like the debates from last night. You know, they ask you a question and they answer something else.
Yes.
And so, to your point about the long ball versus catching a pitch. Look, I grew up a big David Justice fan, huge David Justice fan, and in David Justice prime, on his side with him was Halle Berry.
Yes.
Now, I don't recall, David Justice, big, good home run hitter. I don't recall Ozzie Smith having the hot babes. You know, one of the best defensive players we ever had in this game. I don't recall him having the likes of a Halle Berry on the side. So with that being said, I would pick the long ball. I would pick to hit the game-winning home run any day over a game-saving catch.
I think as good-looking as David Justice was, he could be a light-hitting catcher. And Halle Berry would still have liked David Justice. So I think, come on.
You're probably right.
Do you realize that I did an interview with David Justice when he was with the Braves? And I go over to his condo in Atlanta. I was working for CNN at the time. Mm-hmm. And I go over, and Halle Berry's there. Mm. And I do the conversation. Now, nobody knew who Halle Berry was. I go in, we sit down, we talk, and, you know, he says, during the interview, he says, you know, I don't, it's hard for me to go to bed at night because I'm usually watching, you know, sports late at night. And she's over on the couch watching this, and I said, so out of character, I go, wait, she's in bed and you're watching me on TV? And he goes, yes. And I went, what is wrong with you?
Well, we see why it didn't work out.
Yeah, because he liked me a little bit more than he liked her, I think.
Priorities are all messed up.
Is there a chance the Heat extend this? I mean, there is a chance, but the likelihood of a game six is what, in your opinion?
Oh, God. I mean, look, the Heat are a resilient group. They fought back in game four. You know, I didn't expect them to have make it such a close game with Bam coming back for the first time since game one. So no, there's no quitting this team, and I think they've shown it all playoff and especially all regular season long just how resilient they are. But with that being said, man, look, I felt like if Miami got game four and the series was 2-2, I felt like Miami may have a good shot of taking it, because I think. The way that they're made up with a bunch of dogs over there, I just think they're probably a little bit mentally tougher. But I just think personnel-wise, especially with the way Miami is hurting, that gives the edge to the Lakers. So for that alone, I think Lakers get the next game.
I wondered about this, that LeBron was upset that, you know, not that he didn't win the MVP during the regular season, that he got very little respect from the voters, you know, that the Greek Freak ran away with it. And I'm wondering if those voters maybe realize, or, you know, if you did a redo right now, LeBron would have been the MVP for the season if you included the postseason with the regular season. It doesn't work that way. I feel like he might get a little more love in the bubble for the MVP over Anthony Davis. If you do you have a vote? And if so, who are you voting for?
I do believe I have a vote right now. Based off, right, like if it ended today, after four games, LeBron probably gets the nod. AD he was in foul trouble game three, so it wasn't as effective. But, you know, it's funny, DP. Like, I'm going to ask you this, because I was talking to my brother Mark Haynes about this, you know, being that I have a vote. So when you vote for finals MVP, it just depends on the voter. Do you vote the winner based on their performances accumulative in all four wins, or do you base it off the course of the whole seven-game series? Wins or losses.
I wouldn't have a problem with either one, and they don't give you guidelines because every year I would vote Jordan MVP for the regular season. Mm-hmm. And even though Charles won at one time, Karl Malone won at one time, I just said there's no more valuable person to the NBA than Michael Jordan. You get to the finals, and I would vote Michael. He was just – but he didn't have – like Scottie could have a really good game – but it was still all about Michael. LeBron can have a really good game, but Anthony Davis is capable of having some great games. You might look at this, because I said, I hope the voters give strong consideration to Jimmy Butler for just some votes for MVP, for what he's done with that team in the bubble and standing up to LeBron and company. You know, and if they got one more win, like Jerry West won the MVP and the Lakers lost to the Celtics. And Jerry was the best player on the floor, but Jimmy Butler has gone toe-to-toe with everybody in the bubble and taken a ragtag team that nobody gave a chance to. And he would be the one that I would lean towards. If you want a surprise vote, it'd be Jimmy Butler for the accumulation of everything. But this is LeBron, and I think LeBron's going to be your MVP. I think he's going to have a performance that it's going to make it easy for you to vote for LeBron James.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it would be hard to give my vote to a player on a losing team, but I posed that question because AD had a suspect game three, meaning that it was foul trouble, but they lost that game. So I was saying, you know, do you hold that against him in the four games that he won? And if he, you know, if he produced and had a star effort in all four games. So as of right now, LeBron, but we'll see.
Yeah. But, I never know because LeBron's so polarizing that, you know, do people want to vote for him? Do they think it's a great story or do they not want to vote for LeBron? And they want to give it to AD because, you know, big stage in Los Angeles. Nobody knew if he had this mental makeup. And, you know, he's played – I mean, the defense he played in the last game. Like, that was a difference maker, what he did on Jimmy Butler. But, you know, we look at the glossy stats there, and I you know, LeBron will put up a triple-double, and, you know, the Lakers win, and I think LeBron will be your MVP. So I wouldn't lose sleep over it, but I know that, you know, if you really care about it, then you agonize over it a little bit. I voted for Rookie of the Year – and changed my vote on the day the votes were going in with Jason Kidd and Grant Hill. And it ended up a tie.
Yeah.
Chris.
Yeah.
That ended up a tie. And I still think back and go, did I make the right decision that day? And it was just for Rookie of the Year. And I said it to both Jason Kidd and Grant Hill that I did that, and I didn't tell them who I voted for. But it you know, if you care about it, then it's a privilege, like the Heisman. I care about it. I get a chance to vote on it, and you know, you're kind of sourcing this out to see what's best.
Yeah, I think you were all right in that, DP. I can understand agonizing over, but you know, those two end up having, you know, great careers. Obviously, Grant was cut short, but you know, it was deserved. It's like when you look back at some of the co-rookie of the years, you can look back and say, that's fine. You know what I mean? Like it was tough to pick either one.
Whether it ended up a true tie, though, Chris, that's what I always wonder. Because sometimes they go, let's just give it to both of them.
Yeah. So I think with Finals MVP, I believe it's an odd number of writers who get the pick. So there's no way you can get a co-Finals MVP.
What are you hearing about the start of next season?
So, according to Adam Silver, who spoke with us, let me see, a few days ago, at the earliest would be Christmas, but it's looking more like some point the latter part of January. And so I think that's what most players are expecting.
Is there anything that is going to happen before the start of next season that we should keep an eye on?
I mean, we
have some coaching vacancies, which I'm kind of surprised we haven't filled those. What's the holdup with Indiana, with Houston, with New Orleans?
Well, I think Indiana has to figure out what the Clippers are going to do first, because obviously that's the most marquee job that's available right now. And so you kind of want to see what names emerge from that candidacy. And then maybe you can pluck a few of those guys over to interview for your position. So, you know, L.A. Clippers, they're in the win now, desperation mode right now. So they got to get a guy who's going to command respect from day one. You hear names like Jeff Van Gundy, Tyronn Lue spoke to them last weekend. So that's the job I think the other teams want to kind of wait and see what happens there.
I want to thank you for joining us as many times as you did. And, you know, you were always fun, and we appreciate it. I know it's been tough to be in there over 100 days, but you always had a smile. And we appreciate, our audience really appreciated your contributions. And we missed the shoes in the background there. They're all packed up. And
they're packed. They're getting out of here, DP. I got to get home to the wife.
Are you home Saturday? Are you flying out Saturday?
Saturday at 6 a.m.
Saturday night is date night, Chris.
Saturday night. I love my kids, DP, but I told the wife, I don't want to see the kids as soon as I get there. You know what I mean?
Thank you again, though, Chris. We appreciate it, and congrats on your success.
Thank you, DP.
That's Chris Haynes, Yahoo Sports, and of course, working the sidelines there at TNT. We'll take a break. Play of the Day is up next here on The Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to The Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, and you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR, or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Oh, my God.
The play. The play's called play. Of the day.
Runner left side, got it!
I'm going to play it and play it.
This
play of the day.
Check this out.
No balls, no strikes.
And Tatis, the fly ball to center field and deep. Bellinger going back to the wall. He leaps and makes a spectacular catch. Cody Bellinger robs Tatis of a two-run home run. His glove was 6 or 7 inches over the yellow line and straightaway center. A spectacular catch.
Charlie Steiner on the call, AM 570, LA Sports, Dodgers Radio Network. Clayton Kershaw went 6, allowed 3 runs. He also became the first pitcher ever to allow back-to-back home runs 3 different times in a postseason career, but they get the win in dramatic fashion. John Smoltz, who was on the call last night for Fox, he will join us coming up in about 40 minutes from now. Play of the day brought to you by Home Depot. They're here to make it easier. They've got delivery options to get you what you need exactly where you need it so you can keep doing it. Whatever it takes to get the job done. The Home Depot, how doers get more done. Cody Bellinger had the great catch for the Dodgers, and this is what he had to say about the catch in the postgame.
You're the first player since 2012 that's hit a postseason home run and robbed a postseason home run since ESPN started taking the robbery stat. What is more exhilarating, knowing that you can actually hit a home run in this park and get your team on the board, but being able to rob one like that?
I would say catch one, especially under those circumstances. I'll take that one over the homer for sure.
And that's the right answer, because there are a lot of home runs to win games. There aren't many great catches like that. You're robbing somebody of a home run to win a game. It doesn't happen very often. All right, 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com. Once again, our lead story has to do with the Titans. There is a chance the Titans not only won't play this game this weekend against Buffalo, but that game could be forfeited here. And the NFL has been investigating the Titans. So we're keeping an eye on that. Any information we have, we'll bring that to you. McLovin, we settle on a poll question here.
Yeah, I put up, would you rather rob a home run to win a game or hit a home run to win a game? 78% win with a home run, not rob.
Oh, really? All right.
I mean, it's the more classic sports moment, you know.
But it's not as unique, though.
I mean, yeah, I mean, it wasn't a walk-off. It was in the middle of the game, too. I don't think.
Yes, yeah,
I think part of it is as a kid, it's what you dreamed of doing was hitting a game-winning home run or, you know, hitting the game-winning shot. It's like all of those kinds of things, you know?
Tom Brady, I guess, is buying a house in Tampa, in case you care about this. TMZ Sports had some pictures there. $7.5 million waterfront estate in a private community. I didn't think he'd be in just a regular community there.
2-bedroom bungalow behind a strip mall?
Yeah. 5-bedroom modern house in a gated community in Clearwater, Florida. He had to move out of Derek Jeter's mansion. That was the Jeets is selling that for $29 million. So Brady is going to get his own spot there. And it's got a private gym, theater, billiard room, media center, and has an elevator in there. And then there's an empty lot next door if Tom would like to expand. So that's for sale as well. Just to let you know that Tom is doing okay in Tampa. It sounds like he's going to make Tampa home for a little while longer. That's not a one and done, though. Like, that's definitely, I'm here for at least 2 more years. Yeah, Paul.
I'm looking on Zillow right now, Dan, and $7.5 million is not even close to the highest price house in the area. There's houses, I got 4 or 5 houses in the 20 millions.
Ooh.
I got a dozen houses over $10 million. Brady getting a little frugal.
Well, he doesn't want to go all in Tampa because how long is he going to stay? And then you're trying to unload something like that.
Cheapskate Brady not all in on Bucks? Question mark. Giselle wants to stay home?
Whoa.
No more modeling?
I was told that Giselle, she wanted to be in Miami. And, well, I can understand. You know, being a model, and you know, you could be in Miami and probably a lot more opportunities there, but instead, you know, going to Tampa. Not that he was going to play for the Dolphins, but there was talk, would the Dolphins be interested in Tom Brady? But I go back to, you know, when I told you that a source said, you know, the Chicago Bears were on the short list as one of the 3 teams, the Chargers, Buccaneers, and Bears. And now you have Brady playing against the Bears coming up tonight. Yes, McLovin.
A lot of people retire in Tampa. You think he could? I think he could settle there. Elway settled in Denver, and he was only there for 3 years.
I don't know what Tom's plans are.
I'm sorry, Peyton Manning settled in Denver. Not...
Yeah, that's right. And he wasn't there that long. Andrew Luck is still in Indianapolis.
Ah, lovely community. Good schools. Good schools. Ah.
All right, so we got our poll question. By the way, in case you're wondering, LeBron James in closeout game. So his teams, 2 in Miami, 1 in Cleveland, 3-0 in finals games. When they stand to win, they're a win away from the championship. All time, LeBron, his teams are 38-10 in games where they have a chance to close out the series. So I think the inspiration, motivation is, I've been in this bubble for 91 days. Let's win this thing. And then they didn't want to go up against Thursday night football. So now you have Friday night. Talk about, oh, by the way, there's a basketball game on Friday night. And that's the power of football. Yeah, McLovin.
I mean, we could come in Monday morning. The Lakers could have a title and it's going to feel, would that feel a little old if they won on Friday? The other game is Sunday at 7:30 if they go game six.
They'll miss out on the news cycle. If they played tonight, then they would get a piece of the news cycle. But, you know, if you do it late Friday night, we always talk about a news dump. If you want a story to go away, usually 5 o'clock Eastern on Friday, that's when you go and, hey, we're releasing this information. The NFL's famous for doing this. Be like, a story came out on Friday at 5 o'clock. Because everybody's pretty much, let's go home and enjoy the weekend. Yes, Todd?
How much is the reason the game's not tonight is because of Brady specifically, or just any random NFL Week 5 game would destroy a clinching NBA Finals game? Is that what we're saying?
Well, it's been scheduled for weeks, so I don't know if they went, we can't go against Tom Brady. If Tom Brady's not playing and they're 0-4, then, I mean, it's still going to be Friday.
But there's just so many games that are Tuesday, Thursday. Yeah. When you think of the NBA, it just seems very odd. All of a sudden, they're making everybody stay in the bubble at least one more night just because of a football
game. Yeah, but they've always done it. They cater to the TV audience. That's why they have these games on at 9 o'clock at night. They're catering to try to get the biggest audience with Los Angeles. You know, that market there, you know, the NBA is transparent about that. But you don't want to go up against the NFL. You know, the ratings have been kind of soft anyways. I think the NBA just is saying, look, we just want to get to the finish line here. It's the same thing with baseball. It was the same thing with hockey. You just want to have a season or a reasonable facsimile. And you know, these leagues have done the best they possibly can. NBA and NHL, they did the best they can. And then you hope that next year looks different and it feels different. It is different. But that's all the NBA wants is, if we have soft ratings, let's just get a champion. That's what they want. You want a champion. Baseball. They didn't care about the regular season. Boy, they care about the postseason. John Smoltz was on the call of the Dodgers win last night. There's some bad blood there. I like it. Padres and Dodgers. Also, Troy Aikman calls out the Cowboys. J.J. Watt. Did he play a role in Bill O'Brien being fired as the Texans head coach? More on that coming up.